Ruth chapter 2, verses 8 to 12. Living by Grace, part 2. Same thoughts as we had last week. We're going to go through once again. Ruth chapter 2, verses 8 to 12. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens.
Let thy eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them.
Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou thirst, go unto the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn.
Then she fell on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thy eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?
And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore.
Verse 12 in unison. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Amen. As we have mentioned last week, life with God is a life of faith, sustained by the grace of God, undergirding us in every way. It is truly a blessed life. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 7, Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. This biblical ethos was in complete opposite to the way of life during the time of Judges. The people fear not God. They were wise in their own eyes, and they were meddling with evil. When we exercise faith in God, we receive the favor of God. As we place our trust in God, as we endeavor to do His will according to His word, we would experience His blessing. And God wants us to know very clearly a very direct, simple equation. You know, in mathematics we say it's direct proportion. And if you have faith in God, then it begets blessings from God. God works, albeit in an unknown, unexplainable, unfathomable way. You know, we serve an invisible God. We cannot see Him. But God wants us to know that He is directing us, fulfilling His purpose for our lives. And for Ruth, she was very special because she will be the progenitor of the line of Messiah. The Savior of the world would be coming out of her loins. And through her experience, since placing her faith in the God of Israel, she has found, or she will find, that this God whom she trusts can be trusted. Can be trusted more than she can ever imagine. And so God wants us to know that life with Him sees no coincidence, no accident, but only His blessed providence in our lives.
leading, guiding. And we'll see this almighty orchestration of God in our lives, behind the scenes. Everything that happens in our lives occur for a purpose, and God uses it to mold us for His glory as we yield ourselves to Him. God truly worked in the lives of His people who exercise faith in the normal events of life. And that is what we are seeing here in this story. The normal events of life, but a supernatural undertaking God is performing behind the scene through the life of this simple Moabite woman. And she would realize, as she placed her faith in God, that God is indeed someone that is faithful, trustworthy, and reliable. We can rejoice in His goodness always. Life with God is a life trusting in the all-wise providence of God. And, you know, it is not measured by material abundance. Oftentimes we have that misconception that if we are prosperous, materially speaking, then life is okay. But the prophet Haggai testified, he said, or the prophet Habakkuk testified, he said in Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 to 18, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stores, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. That's a man living by faith in God. Remember, 10 years ago, Naomi left with her husband together with the three sons because they saw that Moab was more prosperous. There was a famine in Israel. They did not see with eyes of faith that the land in which God has allotted for them was for a perpetual inheritance. Of course, God would prosper them if they would trust Him. Sometimes God allows us to go through times of trials, difficulties, as Job experienced. He said during the time when he was most challenged, you know, to forsake his faith, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him. For Job, his life was very simple. Life with God is actually very simple. He simply wants us to give to Him our undivided trust. And that was what he did during the time of his greatest testing. And you would see this in the life of saints. Life with God, for good, for worse, trusting in God. Paul, the other man of faith, said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. When he was suffering need, he knew that his God was sufficient for him. It is a life of faith. And Paul had to pass on this spiritual lesson to his spiritual son, Timothy, because they would be facing times of challenges. And Paul said to Timothy, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many into foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveteth after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So with God as our sufficiency, then our security doesn't lie in our bank account. Whether it's high, whether it's low, well, our faith, our trust is upon God. Right? Today, you know, our account may be full, but tomorrow there may be a freeze of all the banks, and suddenly, you know, you can only draw $50 a day. And you ask yourself, what is happening in life? Right? Well, we know that whether it is this or whether it is that, God is in control, and He will make sure that we are taken care of. That's why, as a child of God, we learn to be at rest with God, at rest no matter what the external circumstances would be. So Paul said, he committed himself to the care of God. He says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And Ruth, having committed her life to God, will now experience the sufficiency of God in her life. Two thoughts. Bestowment, verse 8 to 9. Thanksgiving, verses 10 to 12. Verse 8 says, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. As she stepped out in faith that morning, doing her duty to go to the field, she knew, right, that she had the duty to take care of herself and her mother-in-law. And she experienced God's favor leading and guiding her. And she said, I'm sure she did utter a prayer before she made that journey to the field that morning. Right? Every morning when we step out to go to the office, do we not utter a prayer to God to ask Him to lead and guide us as we go out? We do not know what would be for us today, but we know that we have to commit our lives to the Lord, that He may help us. And so, as she committed her life to God, God directed her. God brought her to Boaz's field. And Ruth's faith, you know, up to now has been tested. Tested through many difficulties, many tribulations. She has been traveling for, you know, 100, maybe 100 over kilometers, all the way from Moab to Israel. God protected her. She was able to do her bit to, you may say, usher and be a help to the old mother to bring her back home. And she has gone through a lot, but she knew that this faith in the God of Israel is something that, you know, she may not be able to fully explain, but she knew that that's the right path for her. She knew that that's the way to go. And God is slowly unfolding his plan for her life. When we yield ourselves to God, as we walk in the center of the will of God, then you would find God unfolding his plan. And he has a marvelous plan for every one of us. He wants us, or he has a plan whereby he would glorify himself in our lives if we would allow him to lead us and guide us. And so for Ruth, you'll find that she was on that blessed journey. She was on that journey whereby she could experience the favor of God, and she arrived at the place of God's favor, where the place where God wants her to be. And she would found Boaz, the man that God would use to bestow his blessings upon her. Verse 9 says, "Let thy eyes be on the field, that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young man that he should not touch thee? When thou art athirst, go unto the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn." Not only did God send Boaz to provide for her, but Boaz would also protect her so that she would not fall prey to evil men, even within his vineyard. And he gave specific instructions that Ruth be protected from harm and danger as she gleaned in the field. You know, this is the time of the judges. Anarchy, lawlessness, violence and plundering is common. She saw the hand of God keeping her in safety as she committed her life, herself, to God daily before going out to the field. And that is what we must all do as a child of God. Commit our lives to Him. Surrender our lives to Him. As we surrender ourselves to Him daily and allow Him to lead us, you'll find His Spirit, His Word, directing our steps. And we would experience in a miraculous way, in a supernatural way, you may say, God's favor, helping, guiding. And if there's a prayer that Ruth would pray daily, is a prayer of renewal of faith in God daily. Daily, the Lord wants us to begin the day with a simple trust in Him. And if you study Psalm 16, a very good example of a daily prayer. Right? David says, "Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust." He tells the Lord, he renewed his heart before God, that, you know, "I know You are the one who is able to help me." And he says, "O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee." Oh, I have weighed concerning my own intellectual capability, concerning the environment that I'm in. I realize that I cannot find any other help. There is no goodness without thee. And my goodness, or any good that I may receive, cannot be anything outside of what thou would bestow. But to all the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. When you look at the unbelieving, those who go after other gods, you find that, well, life just does not make up. But for the child of God, he says in verse 5, "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup." He says that I will bless the Lord, who has given me counsel, who has given me instruction in the night seasons, and I have set the Lord before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. He is guiding me, and his authority in my life I acknowledge, and I bring myself in subservient to his will. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. What wonderful words of faith uttered by the psalmist. And so the Lord wants us to live that kind of a life with him, daily committing ourselves to him. Then by the time we close the day, we would end the day in thanksgiving for what God has done for us throughout that day. If you look at the life of Ruth, you'll find that she was one who is very much disadvantaged. But there is no disadvantage with God when you have God with you. And if you were to look at the life of Boaz, you'll find that he was a very well endowed man, in the sense that God made him a steward by the resources that God has vested upon him. And you see how he did well in receiving Ruth. She was on the lookout, someone worthy of help. And Paul said in Galatians 6, 9 and 10, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Ruth was such a person in Israel with a special endowment that God has given to him, that he was able to bless other people. And he did so as he helped Ruth. And so, you see, life with God is a wonderful journey of experiencing his grace. And having experienced the goodness of God, how should our response be? Verse 10 to 12. It must be humble thanksgiving. And you see how Ruth was so grateful, for she saw the hand of God leading and guiding her. Verse 10 says, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thy eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Was she a stranger in Israel? Indeed she was. But she was not a stranger in the sight of God. She was someone special. And we are someone special in the sight of God when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have full access to the Father through to the throne of grace, through Jesus Christ. And all the riches that is in Christ is given to us. And, you know, as we appropriate it, we realize that we are certainly so rich. And God wants us to realize it. And as we have that understanding, have that knowledge of the privilege that we have as a child of God, then we must be full of thanksgiving. We must be full of knowledge of how undeserving we are, and yet, you know, God bestowed upon us all these blessings. And that is a life that God wants his people to experience. When they came out of Israel, or when they came out of Egypt, they were just a bunch of slaves. Right? But God led them. God took care of them. God helped them. And it is the same for all of us. When we come to put our faith in our great God, then we come into that privileged relationship. And God wants us to, having received good from God, to not forget His goodness. Because we are a forgetful people. We can receive and realize that, you know, not realize that we have received much. And so the Lord wants us to have this attitude, a grateful attitude, because you realize that if God would just, you know, anything can happen in the life, right? The day when you step out of your house, you know, anything can happen. But it is by the mercy and grace of God, by His holy angels guarding, protecting you, that, you know, nothing is happening. You find yourself safely going through life. But if God were to open our eyes to see the battle that is, you know, that is done, you know, in the spiritual realm for our well-being, we would be so frightened. What God is doing against evil, devil-driven world that we are in. And why is it that Boaz saw good in this lady Ruth? Well, she had a testimony of obedience and submission to the will of God. She did the commandments of God. She honored her mother. And God blessed her. You know, this is the only commandment, the Bible says, with a promise of blessing. Right? And she did all this. Did God not bless her? Yeah, God bless her richly. As Solomon said, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men." She took care of her mother-in-law. You know, Naomi is not an easy person to live with. She was full of bitterness. She was full of despondency. But she loved her with a genuine love, and God blessed her. God saw that the piety in Ruth, or Boaz saw that the piety in Ruth was genuine. She was a true convert and a lover of the Messiah, God of Israel. And so Boaz said these prophetic words. He said, "The Lord," in verse 12, "shall recompense thy work, and a full reward shall be given thee of the God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Her reward is in God, and she received the reward of faith with thanksgiving. She came under the wings of God, under the protection of God, under the shelter of God. And, you know, coming to love God and to be with the people of God, to serve His people, is a wonderful privilege. rules, attitude, and actions can be parallel to those of Moses. Hebrews 11, verses 24 to 26 says, "By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." Just like Abraham, he was looking for a city in which the foundations and the maker is God. He was looking for something eternal. He understood in his heart the value of a substance in eternity that is beyond the temporal value or the temporal value of things upon earth. And God wants us to, you know, have a change of mindset, you know, that we may be able to have a change in our value system, that we would see the things of eternity with greater value. And that's why Moses was willing to suffer loss, as it were, to follow God, to be with the children of Israel, to serve the people of God, because he knew that there is a reward that God would give to him in the time to come. And as you think about the richness of life with God, you know, the psalmist calls those who would come under the wings of God as those who are precious in the sight of God, like the apple of his eye. And but you would also see that there are those who would reject the goodness of God. As Jesus said in Matthew 23:37, when he pronounced woe upon the scribes and the Pharisees, he said that they have rejected their God. "How I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." They refused their Christ, and it was tragic to live with a hardened heart. And God wants us to know and realize the great privilege we have as his people. And he wants us, having received so much from him, to be thankful, to be reminded constantly of God's care, his goodness in our lives, and to live contented under his care. And that is something that requires some learning, you know. The picture of a thankful heart in this Moabite widow, Ruth, that simple faith, full of genuineness, full of sincerity, full of true gratefulness, rekindle the picture of first love fervor in a people plagued with sin and bitterness during the time of the judges. It was a refreshing change. And God wants us to see, bring us back to the purity of life with God, the kind of simple faith God wants us to have. And when we exercise it, you'll find that the glory of God would fill us to the overflow. Thank God for his guidance and care. the simplicity of filial love and thanksgiving to God is once again depicted for our learning and emulation. God wants us to be filled with His goodness. May this study of the book of Ruth bring us back to that simple purity of love for God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for this story of the Moabite widow called Ruth. O Lord, we thank Thee for showing to us in her life, though hard, though underprivileged, and yet we see her simple faith, trusting God and willing to pay the price, willing to serve, willing to make a difference in the life of her mother, mother-in-law Naomi. Oh God, we see in her quiet strength that Thou wouldst want us to have also, the willingness to labor, the willingness to trust, the willingness to be contented by Thy constant care. O Lord, help us to be a people of faith. Help us to see with the eyes of faith as Thou would work out Thy good plan, Thy good purposes for our lives. O Lord, we want to thank Thee, for Thou art a great God and we are Thy privileged people. Help us to see and live as privileged people. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.